All right, next up, we're going to talk about cereal. I'm not just talking about breakfast cereal. I've been eating this stuff all through the day, and my guilty pleasure is honestly a midnight snack because Magic Spoon has brought back the cereals from our childhood. I'm a huge fan of the cocoa flavor. You mix it with peanut butter, it tastes exactly like a peanut butter cup. It takes me back to my childhood watching wrestling every Saturday morning with a big bowl of sugary cocoa cereal in front of me, but it is not that. Magic Spoon has captured this magic, and it fits into my diet. 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, only 4 net carbs in each serving, only 140 calories a serving. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. You can build your own box. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, and cinnamon. Do not sleep on fruity either. That one is a guilty pleasure as well. But I don't even have to feel guilty because it all fits into the diet, okay? I've been doing this no-carb thing here lately, cutting the carbs down, trying to lean up, and Magic Spoon's been a huge part of it. So if you want to get on the train, go to magicspoon.com/hoots to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code HOOTS, H-O-O-T-S, at checkout to save $5 off your order. Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/hoots and use the code H-O-O-T-S to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode of Talkin' Shop.
Hello, good morning. This is John from the Vehicle Service Department, and I'm calling about their 2019 Cadillac, correct?
The 2019, yes, the 2019 Cadillac. Man, that thing purrs like a kitten. How are you, man?
I'm doing great, sir. How about you?
I'm awesome, man. If I any better than I have to sit on both hands to keep from waving at everybody. Other than some hemorrhoids, man, everything else is pretty good, though.
Anyway, sir, what is the model of your Cadillac? ADS?
Yes, the ADS. The Awesome Dick Syndrome, yes.
And it has an estimated mileage of 19,000 miles, is that correct?
Man, it's like you drove that thing this morning.
And lastly, your zip code is 25402, correct?
Yes, absolutely, yes. Martinsburg, West Virginia. Let's go, Mountaineers. Woohoo!
Please hold for a moment while I get you over to your specialist, okay?
All right.
Hi, thanks for holding. My name is Dale Scott. I'm the senior covered specialist here. How you doing today?
Man, I'm awesome. How about yourself?
Well, I'm pretty good. Yeah, pretty good is always better than pretty bad anywhere.
Yeah, well, I'm good. I'm not pretty. I'm not even pretty at all. I'm ugly as a mud fence that's been peed on, man. So what's going on with you today?
Well, the reason why your call was transferred to me, we're going to see if we can get you the best coverage that's going to protect the vehicle mechanically.
Okay.
I'm sure you'd like to know what that coverage will cost.
Well, does it cover the roof detachment? Because, man, that thing flew off the other day and about hit somebody in the nuts when it going down the street.
Hoot.
Colt Cabana, ladies and gentlemen, the Podfather himself. He showed up here live on the new inclination of Talkin' Shop, hosted by Blue Wire. Thank you all for listening. He had red lingerie over the lamp in his prestigious Marriott hotel room, and we were spoofing the Mickey James hit Hardcore Country by alluding to what maybe he was thinking about. Hardcore fucking!
That's Kazuchika Okada's favorite song, by the way. Plays it all the time.
Well, he should.
Are we on or here we go?
We're
absolutely on, buddy.
Colt, have you ever been introduced by the Fink in the ring?
No, and I've never been called and given my itinerary by him either.
Have you ever been introduced by the Fink from heaven?
No, I haven't been.
Well, here he comes. Come on down, Fink.
I don't even have to knock because now I'm a spirit. It's nice to see all of you.
Hello,
Colt. I see that you.
Colt.
I see that you.
So just call it. Just gimmick name 30.
Well, I was looking. I was looking at the heavenly list, and St. Peter has Scott Colton marked down, so that looks good for him. Not the other four of you.
Think from heaven.
Yes, I know you're Jewish.
In real life, you were so nice, but Think from Heaven seems even sweeter.
No, he's a dick.
Well, no, I'm not, Carl. Carl, you're a pointy-eyed asshole. The only person I'm a dick to is you. And I have a pass from our Lord and Savior to do so. So fuck you.
Jesus Christ.
Well, exactly. Yes, of course.
And think from heaven, you're okay with Jews also?
I love Jews. Holy shit, Carl. Literal holy shit. Yes, of course I'm okay with Jews. I'm a big fan of Goldberg. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the hashtag worst podcast. He is our producer.
There he is.
I hate speaking about sex out of wedlock from heaven, but all I can see are his balls because he's constantly hashtag balls deep. Ladies and gentlemen, the producer, Emilio Sparks. And in the lower bottom corner on Zoom, because yes, we Zoom from
heaven. There it is.
He has dyed his beard since last week when some grays were peeking through. He's a tiny, tiny luchador. Carl used to say that he should have been Sin Cara. Who knows?
Well, anyway, would have been successful then.
At Azuka Rock. Rocky. Robert, what is that, Colt? You interrupt.
What's wrong, Scott?
Everyone's ring introduction.
What's wrong, Colt?
Don't forget, he's hailing from a tiny little box.
Yes, he is. He's waiting to move with his wife. I see things from heaven.
It's a tiny Florida home.
He wants to go to the south coast of the United States on the east side. Anyway, the
south coast of the United
States. Anyway, the Finks had some of the blood of Christ in them tonight, but. To my left, our left, because I'm engulfing the room from heaven. He's got on those Michael Elgin-esque white headphones and his COVID-19 band from All Elite Wrestling that Tony Khan bought for him. He's the machine gun, Carl Anderson.
That's right.
And the third host, a sexual man, but in the holiest of ways. He stands somewhere between 6 and 7 feet tall. He has a shaved penis thanks to Manscaped. He has a braided beard. He's wearing a machine gun Carl Anderson shirt that accentuates his pointy nose and greatness in the ring. He is the Big LG, Doc Gallows.
All right, thanks.
Shut up. Shut the fuck up. And our special guest, he's one of the more famous Jews in wrestling other than Goldberg. A personal friend of Drew Hankinson until a t-shirt debacle that took him years to get over. His real name is Scott Colton. He is the Podfather. He gave podcasting and pro wrestling. Now it's a big deal, apparently, and he has a new one. He is Colt Boom Boom Cabello.
Hey, Scotty, baby, thank you for coming on.
Colt
Cheers.
Is his name.
Thank you.
We appreciate Drew. You, Colt.
Baltimore Colt Cabana. He was one of the famed Baltimore Colts for many years. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't, but he's got a brand new podcast, and what's the name of it?
It's Wrestling Anonymous.
So tell us the concept, and then we just listened. We pre-listened to about 10 seconds of this clip, and I think I know where you're going.
Started popping.
And the Podfather is back onto Podfather Geniusry, which is a talk and shop term I just coined. Nice. How long will it be until someone copies this? But before we get into that, let's play the clip.
So podcasting is something that basically Colt Cabana started.
He's
right?
the hashtag Great. Podfather, and so, if you don't make a shirt out of him, you're pissed off.
So all the boys just started doing podcasts because why not, right? Great. So now Colt's doing this.
I know guys who have two listeners that have been podcasting for years now because of Colt.
Exactly. Yeah, who? Jake and Leatherman?
No, they don't have one. They're the only two wrestlers who don't have a podcast. Anybody with a phone has a podcast.
Yeah, Rock fucking snorting.
Us included.
But now you're doing this whole new concept. Now other people can start copying this.
Yeah,
this,
I know.
But what a way to
get this over quick before they overrun you.
But what a way to you're always evolving, babe. You know what you're doing.
Listen, yeah. I got a head start. I assume Stone Cold and Jericho will do the same concept in about 3 years. So I got a 3-year jump on him.
I love it.
And they're Stone Cold and Jericho. Like,
I love it.
What kind of fight do we have against those guys?
let's fucking, you know me. I'm the only wrestling purist on the goddamn cast and the craziest man, me. You got to say this about Colt Cabana, because this is one thing I do have always appreciated about Colt Cabana. A self-made man, an independent wrestling pioneer who at a time.
Self-made millionaire.
Didn't need. Not didn't
multi-millionaire.
Have, not
we assume.
No, I know.
We all know Colt is rich.
He showed me his stocks.
We all know Colt is rich, but didn't need a contract to get over.
Not having a contract and not getting over is different. Not needing one and getting over is something that I've always admired and appreciated as a fellow hustler of all kinds of things. Being a businessman, the way that you are, creating the podcast regime, creating the relationship with the fans, traveling the world, and being, let's be honest, a six-figure wrestler that turned into a seven-figure wrestler without a machine behind him. I'm going to clap for you right here on Talking Shop.
Are you getting emotional?
Holy no, shit. I'm serious. Yes. I popped for that.
I'm going to stand up.
That's a real stand statement.
Up for this one.
Despite all of our t-shirt like heat for five long up, years, I can still put the man over.
Guys, and to the point, like, I even was inspired so many ways. Don't step I wrote a song about his t-shirt selling entitled T-Shirt Trap. Can we hear
what? It's called T-Shirt
and
Trap.
Can we hear it? And it's a song that Cabana is also featured on.
Well, so are you going to sing?
We'll throw it at the end of the episode.
That was a fucking real limp dick in the room.
So now let's... Let's actually let Cole talk about it.
No.
Podcast. Can you be quiet right, for a second?
No.
So it's a hotline show. Yeah. And essentially, I've got a number out there, 87 Cabana 34. You call up and you just anonymously tell us any story that has anything to do with wrestling.
87 Cabana 34.
People are calling up and they're leaving very funny voicemails, true stories. There's a big range. I gave you a couple of clips, but like I tried to play like the funnier ones, but there are some like deep ones of like people's passing away or connections with their family, which I do love too. But
that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a wide range of people calling in and I just kind of give my two cents and essentially a hotline call. It's a couple episodes in. I'm having a real fun time doing it and I enjoy being back in the weekly podcast game.
I need to ask you an actual serious question about this. I want to get to the call. But before that, though, honestly, obviously, you know that. Everyone knows that. You're the forefather of podcasting.
The podfather, the wrestling podfather.
But honestly, though, like,
respect on his name.
But did you reach a point where it was like, this sucks?
Yes.
I mean, exactly. And that's why I took a break for so long, right?
And I was just like sick of like, there was like, it got to the point where like, I was really inspired by having like all these different great wrestlers on. And then I was just like, oh, like now I've had all my friends on. I've had all the people that like are the best. And now like I kind of feel bad asking. Got to a point where like I'm asking someone to do something for me like every single week. And I just there's something I didn't like about like depending on people.
Other, yeah. That
yep. makes
sense. Right. Of course, because you're a self-made
especially
brother.
Wrestlers.
Especially wrestling.
They're the worst to ask for.
That was a lot. You guys all did it. Like, you know, like I would need it. I would like take you in the back. I would need like time. I would need a quiet place. And it really like, you know, I thought like a year in, I was stressed out. Like I got to do this every week. I did it for fucking 8.5 years or 9 years or whatever.
Jesus. Is that how long it was? That's I mean, insane. Forget how long it went. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you get reinvigorated or what happened?
Yeah, I still love the idea of a weekly concept, but doing the interview like that just wasn't sustainable. So like, I kind of had to throw my hat in and then I've always been like in my head, I always think about like what weekly things can I do? And I was inspired by a lot of different things, but this kind of all came together and it seems That's like a cool. no-brainer and it's really cool.
Well, you basically interviewed the entire business before anyone else did. So it was time to move on and you created a new concept. Well, that's why hashtag Podfather shirt is going to be a top sell.
Well, like, I remember there was a time where like, whatever, you were getting heat for asking, like, for example, like TNA guys or WWE guys were like doing your
podcast heat too. That's what happens when you're an innovator.
And they were saying, "Hey,
you get heat for the positives and the negatives."
They were saying, "Hey, you can't do this," and you're just going, "Hey, I'm just putting you guys over. I'm not shitting on anybody." And that's and like at that point,
you never did either. Yeah,
no, but at that point, you're just going, "I'm done. Yeah. Fuck this." You know what I mean?
Right. Especially when the companies aren't like can't like see that how great of a machine it is for everybody.
Mm-hmm. And then they figured out we should copy this and give it to everyone else.
Yeah. Then they just started doing it all. Yeah.
And it's one of the reasons I never wanted a contract because as I was independent, for the most part, I could bounce around and get an Impact guy, get a WWE guy, get a Ring of Honor guy, get a New Japan guy. I felt if I was with a company, I don't
You're
know
not
how
on
much easier
for somebody. Sure. No, that makes sense.
That's what's pretty cool about us now is like, at least like,
You're on a contract with everybody.
Well, yes. We're in a weird position.
Brother.
We're in a weird position with Impact. Like, we're like, you know, our boss doesn't mind what we do. And like, New Japan has always loved us. Like, they understand we're not going to fucking shit on them. And AEW realizes that we're there for them. And then Gallows is being Gallows. Hey, Emilio, can we run one of those stories from Cabana's podcast?
Can we run the one that you started? Because I want to hear the rest of it now, please.
I've been a wrestling fan my whole life. My earliest wrestling memory the story my mom told me about how they would meet the wrestlers after the show, you know, hound them down for autographs. As my father goes in to get the autograph in Pojo, my mom goes into the limo with Dutch Mantel and tells me to speak. Kissed him. I'm using like air quotations. For whatever reason, just wrestling stuck with me. And that's one of my earliest memories.
She went into the limo and kissed Dutch Mantel.
While his father went to get the autograph from Tojo, one of the biggest heels in the territory, his mother went into a limo and gave Dutch Mantel a peck on the cheek. That's nice. To sift through all those.
Was that what it was?
To sift through all that beard hair to give the man a friendly kiss, I think it's something that's very fucking commendable.
That's very kind.
After you go through and you talk about your thoughts on these calls, is V2 of this where you bring in Dutch Mantel and say,
That's the Patreon.
That's the Patreon. Oh, what a genius.
Paywall, baby.
I'll pay $100 tier to hear the rest of the story.
Plug the Patreon real quick.
Patreon, Cole Cabin. I think, eventually. And someone did talk to me about that.
Here's the thing, though. I think you're to a point with some of these old school brothers where they might actually just go, listen, here's what happened. And that's where the real meat and potatoes of this is going to be. Oh, yeah.
I'm waiting for the day I get one, a story about you two.
Don't wait too long,
but it's going to happen real soon.
I'm going to be coming around giving my side. That's not what happened, guys.
What would the story about Rocky be?
You never know.
The Black Tigress?
The Black Tigress.
Then I met the Black Tigress, and he kissed me in a limousine.
But he took me to the quinceañera.
But Cole, we haven't had a chance to it's been a year and we haven't talked about you at all. And we brought you up certainly because we always give you the respect of the fucking the podcast guy. We always say that because as soon as you did the podcast, me and Rock and Gallo started that, talking shop and whenever we did. But it's funny because people call us one of the originals, but obviously
we clearly stole your
concept. Yes, of course we did.
Of course.
I remember saying you guys were in such a weird place in history where it's these three Americans in New Japan with the history of New Japan and it was all starting to blow up. While you're in Japan, you're it's boring. We're sitting at a hotel, but the world is I would love to know. And the world would have loved to know what Brody and Steve Williams were up to.
That's why our little shit was interesting to them and to us right out of the gate was because who the fuck's ever talked about that before? Now everybody does, right. But it was fun.
Scott D'Amore has an amazing story where he came in
yeah. Where he went and kissed Dutch Mantel in a limo.
He can get me to the bottom of the fucking thing and I won't have to pay the Patreon price.
But that as well. But he came in one time, let's just say.
Is he your mother?
Scott was there November 2nd for whatever reason. Just say November 2nd. And we hung out. We drank some beer. We hung out. And then Scott left. And then November 28th.
No, he came back 7 weeks later. We've been there for almost 2 months.
Whatever it was. But let's just say November 28th, right? He came back.
With the Bullet Club.
And he came to our room 4 weeks later. And he goes, you guys were fucking out of your mind. It's like, well, we were smashing beer. He was snorting melatonin. We'd been in Japan for a month of just we're away from our families, our life. It's just it's a fucking, and that's where I thought that this podcast, at least with us, there was something to it,
It should have been a reality show, though. That's what it
is. Sure, but there was something to
the psychosis of Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson.
Wait, psychosis was with you?
Yes, he was. He brought Hoobie. Congrats.
We're in our bubbles and we're in our world and we just feel it's normal. And it's so important to just take a step out and just realize what we're all doing is so crazy.
What, you're saying you can be engulfed by the rest of your life? Come on.
No. Of course, we're so far away from our families, it's just losing our minds. That's literally what it was.
Do we have another story that we can pull up? Because I've had a good time with that.
Yeah, I think I sent one to Emilio.
It was kind of fun. Emilio,
balls deep.
Can we roll one more?
Man who smacks balls off ass, please. One more story.
It's the year 1999, Central Indiana. I am at the end of my fifth grade year. There's a local independent show in town running at the Armory. My friend AJ's dad happened to have some sort of jurisdiction over the local Armory. I don't know if he ran the place or what, but he was able to get us into the building as soon as school is over. We get there, there's like two chairs set up. The ring just arrives, and one of the wrestlers who's overseeing things looks at us and barks at us about setting up the ring. And so over the course of the next 2 hours, my friend AJ and I, 12 years old, proceeded to set up the ring for the show with no adult supervision. The guy who yelled at us just disappeared. We knew it was a square, and that was about it. We somehow figured out, you know, ring posts go here. The boards were all sorts of crooked. There's no way this thing was set up safely or correctly. Nonetheless, we're setting up. And I remember seeing wrestlers staring at us as they would walk in with their bags. And for our efforts, veteran journeyman Midwest wrestler Bobo Brazil Jr. called me over and told me I could pick out anything from his table of bootleg WWF merchandise. I grabbed an Al Snow shirt that said, "What does everybody want?" on the front, and on the back, it had a picture of the head. I would remember wearing it to school. And when a teacher asked me to describe the thing on the back, I told her it was the head, and she chuckled and then told me, "Do not tell anybody else here what that thing on the back of your shirt's called." That is my first independent wrestling experience, where I, as a child, set up a wrestling ring with another child, unsupervised, for an Al Snow shirt.
Man, my first reaction that, putting my promoter hat on, who the fuck is this city council piece of shit building overseer letting these motherfuckers come in there without my $10?
Oh, I was thinking, as a promoter, you were excited that you're getting free labor, right?
No, you make the boys do that.
I was jealous. I wonder if I was a child and I got that opportunity.
So who's right?
I want the opportunity too as a child, as a promoter. I don't
like it. I've been like, yeah, let's turn this motherfucker.
I send laser out there. I say, kick all these motherfuckers out of here and tell them to go buy a ticket. That's it.
I couldn't believe he didn't say he was super excited to meet Bobo Brazil Jr.
Yeah.
Because he's certainly not the real junior, of course. Wait, he's just
a man I've been on a couple of shows with, by the way, in my lifetime.
Tell us about Bobo a little bit. I've read his name. I don't know much.
Well, Bobo Brazil Jr. and Dice Man Ronnie Vegas would take around a
hardcore match. Oh, my God, Dice Man Ronnie Vegas.
What a response out of the gun.
Oh, man, I was on a show with him when Spider-Man and Batman made it in fucking Ohio.
He was a legend enhancement wrestler who would go into like WWF and be like, "What's up, brother?" to like Hulk Hogan.
That makes me kind of love.
So what you're saying is, when Raw was in Cincinnati and you said you'd see Sean Casey in catering and you just go, "Hey, Sean," and you give Sean Casey a high five and you realize he's just there.
What else do you do?
I feel Dice Man was a generation early. Dice Man taught Sean Casey that like, move.
Dude, Sean Casey wasn't booked. He'd just be in the back.
Hey, here's a clap to all the indie guys who just snuck in the back. Hey,
if you're in the back, good for you. You better you're having some salad.
Free food. Think of what you're going to say when you get asked. Because you're going to get asked.
You might make a couple $100 just by hanging out somewhere. I mean, hey.
If you're not booked, how do you make money?
There's a guy.
Show up.
Who's going to be mad that I said this?
Who's going to pay you?
There's a guy named the Mad Dog Dan Sawyer. And
who's that?
Was an Alabama promoter who I knew through mutual friends. And he'd been booked a few times, but then like when he didn't get booked and they were local, he just put a suit on and he would say who he was and that he was booked. And then he would be discombobulated when he wasn't on the list. And then every time he just brothered in, wasn't extra, and got a payday and just fucking hung out. Then I'd see him in catering later in the day because I'd known him from years before. And he'd be like, just be like, "What? You did it again, brother. Good for you." So it can be done.
I remember Rockin' Randy Ricci at WrestleMania.
Who the fuck's Rockin' Randy?
He was like 45 at WrestleMania. He was one of the druids. He sees Pat Patterson, goes, "Hey, Pat Patterson, you snake in the grass. How you doing?"
There was a guy. Fuck, we're down a rabbit hole. There was a guy. He came back during our last WWE run, but during my first WWE run, he's like a Minnesota guy.
I know who you're talking. The Australian.
Shubby dubby. Yeah. But he would speak Carney, and He was out by the ring as soon as we got there. And this was back in the time when, you know,
WWE?
Yes.
Gallows, before you start, yes, he literally messaged me about a month ago and asked me who had the pencil at AEW.
The pencil.
Oh, the pencil.
The pencil.
Come on, man.
Because pencils have erasers, brother. But he fucking was out there.
What's gonna happen?
He was out there rolling around with his student or whatever, and they kicked him out of the ring right away. And then we all did this shitty workout you do. And then what amazed me was we go back to like change and like find out if we're working or not and be like underlings, because we all were in the very beginning of getting called up to WWE. And there's just this dude in the middle of male talent who's not on the roster. He's got his shit everywhere. He's got his oil out, his hot stuff. And Arn Anderson, the legendary double A, walks back in the locker room and he sits down. He doesn't see the brother. And the brother stands up and he goes, "Big Arn!" And he gives the most massive wingspan go for the hug ever. And Arn goes, "Who the fuck let you in here?" And then our Australian brethren promptly gets kicked out of the locker room. But doesn't take the hint and lay low. He goes into catering and takes the student who he gets back out of extra talent with him. So then we're in there eating after. And he's in there speaking carny, sitting amongst all of us, talking shit about all the boys, but in carny. So we're not
no way they can understand that.
These guys, see you, Zuck over, see you there. Just going, fuck, man. And then he got kicked out and banned. And then he finally came back like in 2017 when he and I were there. And I went,
is that John the guy Cohen, that I heard?
How is this guy here? Yes.
He goes, "Man, this guy sucks, man. He talks like carny all the time."
I said, "What?" Years later.
I swear to God, he goes, "Oh, fuck this." Because WWE makes you crazy. But you walk through and you hear these.
That's the only thing that ever made us crazy.
He said he'd like to do some, and he wrote this out, jizzobs.
Oh, my God.
And asked who had the pencil.
Oh, even better.
Just give him the Lariato Pro email. We'll let him put some.
He can give him 20. He'll come in for 25.
Let's put him on Talking Shop of Mania 3, please.
Before I did get signed to WWE, I was doing a lot of extra work. I did bring Tupperware so I could get myself some lunch and breakfast for the next day, for sure.
That's legendary. Did you take it to go box, then go to Extra Talent, and then slide it into the Tupperware?
Yes, sir.
You're a legend of the road, Cole Cabana. Thank you. God, you are.
Damn, I respect you.
Trust me. They all talk about it.
You wonder why I only had 5 matches in a battle royal.
I remember why a former friend of ours, when I really started to like you even more, goes, I go, "What are you doing with all that tape? You're a millionaire." And he goes, "Well, I'm stealing for Colt Cabana for the Indies." That way, that's great. That's good. Please.
I've been on a run. I'll tell you, like in college when I was wrestling, my roommate was an athletic trainer, free tape. When I got out of college, I worked at a school. The middle school gym teacher was my roommate also. That was part of the budget, free tape.
And how many roles are in Casa de Cabana?
Oh, and then obviously years of Noah New Japan tour.
Oh, my God.
Dude, Rocky, do you want to tell that story when you texted me?
Did you catch him stealing tape?
Dude, I
was shitting. Did you ask him to stop?
I was shitting a fucking brick.
Oh, my God.
This is amazing.
Him and Juice were on the bus drunk, right?
Hold on, tell us the story.
Now we're really talking because no one was ever on the bus drunk when I was there.
Well, no, it was after a show.
Oh, no, I don't care.
Yeah, but you got to pee while you're riding. There's no bathroom.
No, I know. It was one of those ones like where you wrestle and then you have to drive.
Wrestle. Rock's drunk right now.
Rock, no one ever drank beer when I was there until 2016, ever.
No, they drank beer, just not on the bus.
No, after.
Me and Juice would buy beers, and whoever was on our bus that was going to the next town for the hour and a half ride, we would just pass beers out to like all the older guys, like whoever was on the bus, would be like, "Hey, you know, whoever wants one."
Like Kojima.
Yeah, Kojima Nagata be like, "Yeah, oh, cool, great," you know.
It was like hating you.
He's
guys.
Goddamn wood.
Yeah, these guys are fucking crazy.
So I had just
anyway, done, tell the story.
I had just done like one or two tours for New Japan. I was starting. Me and Yano were doing great. Like things were working. And obviously, you know, I'm taking a roll here or there, right? Of course, we all do.
Why not? Roll here or there.
Taking a what?
A roll of tape.
A roll of tape.
That's why I started wearing gloves when I quit working for the Fed.
So how many did you take, bud?
Here and there.
60 or 70.
You know, so, and then I got to the point where I had this big, like, clump in the bottom of my bag. And I think I showed Juice once, and I shouldn't have shown Juice. I knew I should
have. No, because he tells everybody, yeah.
And then I'm home on a tour because I wasn't on the tour. And I get this text like, "Yo, they know you took the tape." and they're not happy about it. And I'm like, I just go to myself like, did I fuck my whole New Japan career up?
Over tape.
Over free tape.
Over free tape. And I thought I did.
$2 a roll.
They have my Family Dollar now for dollar.
I thought I screwed up my whole career. And I was panicking. I was just I'm so stupid. I'm so stupid.
Thought you did.
It's so funny. That is so funny.
It was a rib. It was rib. Juice was told me. He said, dude, I was hanging out with Cabana and he fucking showed me his bag, dude. He had like fucking 17 rolls in there, man. You gotta fuck with him. I think it'd be hilarious if you just send him a text about it. I was like, all right, I'll send him a text right now.
I started sweating.
They know about the tape.
And they're pissed about it. And they're hot about it or whatever.
Of all people to rib is Juice.
Amazing.
Yeah. I'm glad it was good for you. I was sweating bullets. Unreal. I was like, at first I wanted to be like, well, I'll pay him back. Or I didn't even know.
I'll bring 20 rolls.
Yeah. I've Amazoned about a box over.
Just hoping they don't say yes when you offer the rolls.
I felt the same feeling like when I didn't read that fucking book. Like that shame that when I didn't read that Dr. Death book, I was like, fuck
that book.
I was like, why at that time? I was like, why did I just read this fucking book? And same, I was like, why did I take this fucking tape?
I read the book, man. I'm not trying to be rude, but it wasn't a great book. And I got an A on the quiz and got yelled at
for it. What?
The story's legendary.
I know.
What the fuck are you guys
saying? I told her the Dr. Death story.
Just go on YouTube.
I'll hear it.
Okay. You don't know this?
No, I don't know it.
I'll hear it again. Ron doesn't know it.
Well, Jesse and Festus are in OVW because if you got called up, you went to OVW. If you didn't, you went to FCW, right? End of Deep South, whatever. So we're all there. I meet Colt really for the first time, getting to hang out with him. Hawkins and Ryder are there. Me, Gordy, some other folks. Long story short, they bring Dr. Death in for a week of training. He's not real nice to us, but he does want us.
Steve Williams we're talking about?
Dr. Death, Steve Williams. Okay. He does want us to read his book. Which at the time, I'm like a student of wrestling in my head, and I'm reading all these wrestling books because I wanted to know about these guys. I was a fan of them, yada, 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 whatever. And I'd read some really cool ones. Mm-hmm. I went to the bookstore. I paid my $20. I read this book. Now, there was a lot of religious stuff and a lot of football, not as much pro wrestling as I would have necessarily loved. Anyway, Johnny Ace is like, you guys are going to read this book. Was it Johnny who told us to read it or Simon Dean? I don't remember.
Either Johnny or Steve himself, I think.
One of them said, you guys read this book, whatever. Well, I already read the book, so fuck the book. Don't care. They passed the books out.
Go buy the book?
And then passed out the books because Dr. Death had Johnny buy a bunch of books. And he was helping the brother out. At the time, we're doing 7 days a week. We're doing SmackDown, House Show, TV, Home, OVW, TV, OVW, House Show, where we would win on SmackDown and get squashed every time on OVW. I don't know why. Maybe it was the booking. Who knows what it was? No heat there with anybody from that area. But
I may have been on this podcast earlier.
I did not read the book because I'd already read it. So we come in one day and they go, there's a quiz to see who really read the book. And I'm sitting next to my partner, Jesse, aka Ray Gordy, son of Terry Gordy, who was legendary tag team partner of Dr. Death Steve Williams for many years in Japan. And I do the quiz and I know that I got all these things right because I read the book on the shitter over a week. And I look at Ray and he wrote Ray Gordy on top of the quiz and then he turned it in. And I go, why did you do that? And he goes, fuck Dr. Death. And I went, okay. So then we just commence with our lives. We do the OVW shows. We go do the SmackDown loop. We get to TV on Tuesday. I'm trying to do the Reader's Digest version. And we walk in and Johnny Ace goes, hey, you two motherfuckers, get in my office right now. And as we're walking down the hall, he doesn't stop yelling. He's like, you two think because people cheer when your fucking stupid music hits, they're fucking over. And we were like, what have we done? Like, what did we do this week to piss him off? So we go in and he's like cutting this promo and he's like, I bring a fucking legend from Japan and Dr. Death Steve Williams and you pieces of shit, fucking disrespect him. You don't read his book. You both get F's on the quiz. I've done this in several meetings in WWE in my 20s. I raise my hand, like I'm in class, but there's only three people in the room. He goes, what, Festus? I said, with all due respect, I read the book. I bought it with my own money. It was $20 and I got a 10 out of 10 on the quiz. I do feel like my partner has a personal issue, so I'd love to be excused. And he goes, Oh, I didn't know that. You're excused. So I go outside the door and do what any good wrestler would do, and I put my knees to the ground and I cup my ear. And he goes, "What the fuck do you have to say for yourself, Ray?" And he goes, "I'll tell you what I got to fucking say for myself. My daddy's dead, and Dr. Death owes my mama $35,000. Fuck Dr. Death!" And I went, "Oh no! Oh, we're gonna get fired."
That's pretty cool.
And then Johnny goes,
"That is dope."
"Well, Ray, I didn't know that. Sorry about this. Have a good TV."
I mean, everybody failed that test except for Festus. Sure.
10 out of 10, guys. 20
and
bucks.
We all got phone calls. And I said,
"Did you get a phone call?"
I got a phone call. And I said to Nova, I go, he goes, "How did you, could you not read this book?" And he starts laughing. And I go, "Am I getting fired?" He's like, "Well, no, but like, I thought I was getting fired for not reading this guy's book." And I'm self-diagnosed ADHD and self-diagnosed dyslexic. So same. I hate reading.
I like reading, but I'm just all that. Thank you, brother Cabana.
All right. Love you all. Thank you.
Thanks, friends.
See you, babes.